Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Tuesday, December 31st. Happy almost New Year's. Enjoy your New Year's Eve tonight. Be safe. Have fun. Going out on New Year's, a little overrated. Maybe it's because I'm older now. But man, it's just the tickets are expensive to do everything. But it's always fun to end up going out. I'll say that. Once you're out, it's always fun. But the idea of going out on New Year's, man, it really isn't what it used to be. But anyway, this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, as I talk to you on this Tuesday morning, it really is an interesting week for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, it's a rare week where it's interesting for reasons that have nothing to do with the game. Now, normally there will be some drama, but it's like, okay, how's that going to impact on Sunday? And yes, the game on Sunday, there's an obvious question to be asked about who is going to play. But there's really no point in talking about the New York Giants this week. There's no point in talking about their offensive line, their defensive line, Malik Nape. None of it matters. None of it matters. The Giants are done. The Eagles are locked into the two seed. That is official as of Monday with the Vikings beating the Packers. The Eagles will definitely be the two seed. And at this point, it will be either the Packers or Washington. I think there's still a very small chance of Tampa, but it'll be the Packers or Washington coming to Philadelphia as the seven seed with the Eagles as a two seed. So we'll talk more about that this week in terms of, you know, preparing, who would you rather play, those type of things. But the big question, obviously, with this week is, are the starters going to play against the Giants? And is Saquon Barkley going to get a chance at the record? That'll be the talking point all week. Until we get an answer, we'll keep debating what they should do. And it's funny, I feel like sometimes with some of the debates that we have, there's normally, I don't know, maybe it's 70-30, right? Where one side has the majority on their side. So I did a Twitter poll on if they should play the starters and I phrased it this way. Should they play the starters and go for the record, or should they rest the starters against the Giants? Last time I looked, it was like almost 9,000 votes, dead 50-50 split. So people are really torn on this, and I understand why. There are arguments for both sides, but so we're going to get into that today. Nick Sirianni talked on Monday. He talked about, you know, kind of what goes into the decision and all types of things. We'll play audio from that. And then also, I rewatched the Eagles win over the Cowboys, so I have some Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee thoughts for you guys based off watching them play. But first, let's start where we always do, which is what is on the schedule for today. And well, Tuesday, that means it's coordinator day. Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio, Michael Clay will speak to the media. I believe it'll be around 11:30 as always. So keep an eye out for quotes from those three. But as always, if you miss it, we'll have the interesting stuff for you on New Year's Day, January 1st, New Year's Daily Go Birds pod. Isn't that exciting? So that is what to keep an eye out for today. As far as the injury report, you know, we talked about it a little bit in the post-game pod, both with James and then in the daily post-game pod for Monday, but the Jalen Hurts concussion that obviously caused him to miss his past game. Nick Sirianni was asked about Jalen Hurts and his status, and here's what Nick had to say.
Is Jalen Hurts yet out of concussion protocol?
Yeah, no new information on there. Haven't met with our medical team yet. You know, still going through our game evaluations today, and then we'll move on here to the Giants. But no new news for you guys on the injury front.
And sorry to follow on that. If he does come out this week, I know you say you haven't made a decision, but what do you weigh kind of in a final game, him being out this past game, going into the playoffs, whether you think he needs on-game experience before, you know, getting into the playoffs?
Yeah, you take everything into account. You know, try to do the best thing for the team and try to do the best thing for each individual player as well. And so that's where we'll be. No decisions yet.
So an interesting component to this is obviously Jalen's health. Now, as with any injury, you know, only a few people truly know what's going on, right? The player, the doctor, the team, obviously. But with the concussion, obviously it's a little bit more tricky. Like, what stage of the concussion protocol is he in? Will he be able to practice this week? Has he been cleared? Is he not? Like, that is something we won't truly know the answer to until we see him out on the practice field. But the interesting component to the Jalen Hurts injury right now is that because he didn't play the majority of the game against Washington and he didn't play them at all against Dallas, if he doesn't play this upcoming Sunday, he will have gone basically three full games heading into the playoffs having not played. Now, if you're in the AFC and you're lucky like the Bills and you might play the like Miami Dolphins in the first round, then yeah, then like maybe that's not a huge deal. But the way things are looking now, it's looking like it could be the Green Bay Packers in that first round game against the Eagles. And that's a really tough draw. The Packers are a very good team. We can debate and we will debate who you would rather play, Washington or the Packers. I think the Packers are the better team. I'm sure James agrees with me because he thinks they might be the best team in the entire NFC outside of the Eagles. So that is the interesting component to the Jalen thing, which is it tied to the Saquon thing? Because if they feel Jalen needs to get out there and get some reps, then you're obviously playing in the offensive line. And if you're playing the offensive line, then obviously you're letting Saquon get a chance at the record. So Jalen's status is absolutely something to watch this week. Even if he doesn't play, I think just seeing him out of the concussion protocol, seeing him at practice would obviously be a great thing for everybody. We want Jalen to feel better. We don't want him dealing with concussion symptoms. And then obviously from a football perspective, knowing that he can be out there, he can practice, and he can prepare for whenever he will play again, whether it be this upcoming Sunday against the Giants as Saquon chases the Eric Dickerson record, or whether that be in the first postseason game, which is crazy, only, you know, 2 weeks away now. And I was looking at the weather. Obviously, it's far out. It's going to be cold. It's going to be a cold one in that first playoff game. I think the high that day is maybe 19 or something like that. So could we get a snow playoff game? Certainly possible. Now, if all the games were in domes, then that wouldn't be an issue. But since they're not, it's going to be cold, it looks like. And against the Packers, not a huge advantage, but yeah, going to be a cold one, it looks like, for this first playoff game. So that is what Nick had to say about Jalen. But obviously, the big question here going into the press conference was, did he make a decision about Saquon? The last time Nick talked, it was right after the game. The Vikings had not yet beat the Packers, so they were not locked in to a playoff seed. Now the Eagles are locked in to the number two seed. So I asked Nick about whether or not he has made the decision on whether he will play Saquon, and here is what he had to say.
Nick, now that you guys are locked into the two seed, have you made a decision on if you're going to play the starters next week and give Saquon a chance to set the record?
Yeah, still not there. And then, you know, obviously I gave the players off today. They'll be back in a couple days, or they'll be back in. By the next time I talk to you, they'll be back in. And so I'll always inform them before I inform anybody else I know you guys are going to want that answer as soon as you guys can get it. And I'll try to help you guys do your job as much as I possibly can, but I'll always inform our players of things first, but still sorting through things right now at this particular moment.
So is it possible he still hasn't made a decision? Sure, it's possible. But I did think it was interesting he said, I'll always tell the players first. So I think they know what they're going to do. And I think they knew what they were going to do probably heading into that last game. Could the amount of yardage have changed it? Yes. And maybe this is enough where they feel comfortable doing it. But I would be surprised if Nick went to bed Sunday night completely unaware what they're going to do. Maybe the players were unaware. Obviously, I do a Mailata quote I want to play for you guys. But I think they probably have a good idea. And with Nick saying he's going to, you know, want to talk to the players first, I wonder if we're going to find out Wednesday when Nick talks, because Nick will probably talk to the players in the morning. He talks to the media normally around 12:30 or so on Wednesday. So maybe we'll get an answer there. But that, to me, makes it sound like Nick kind of has his mind made up, or at least knows which way he's leaning. The other component to this, and we talked about this with the Jalen thing, is what Nick has done in the past and how much it seems he seems to allow the idea of rust to impact his decision. So this will be the fourth year Nick will go into the playoffs. And ironically, he's had to make a decision every single year on whether to play the starters or not to play the starters. He hasn't really had a final game of the season where, like, it's a win and you're in type of thing. It's always been they're pretty much locked into where they're going to be. So Nick was asked about that, and here's what Nick had to say.
You've had decisions to make at the last game of the season all 4 years here. Now, your first year, you guys couldn't improve any on the seeding. The other 2 years, you were still alive for something. How much did those things play into those decisions at that time?
Yeah, every year is a little different, right? And every team's different. And so I believe that first year, right, we were locked into the seventh seed. And so, you know, we decided to do what we did in that game. In 22, if I remember right, we were playing still to win the division and the one seed at that particular time. I think we had won 13 games at that point, and Dallas had won 12. And I think Dallas lost at the end of the year, and we won. But we had to win that game to get the one seed and get to the division. So a little different scenario there. The Giants rested players in that game, if I remember correctly. Last year, there was still a chance that we could have won the division. In that, it was kind of a little bit like 22, because we could have still won the division there had the Cowboys lost and had we won. So it was kind of the flip there. And then this year, right, you know, we're locked into the two seed. So every year is a little different, has been a little different. You know, I'd say it's still not a handbook of like, hey, if we're in this, I'm going to do that. And if we're in this, we'll do that. Every team's a little bit different. Every year's a little bit different. The situation may be similar. You use those past experiences to help you. But you got to feel where your team is and those different things to make the best decision for the 2024 Eagles and the individuals on that team.
You know, it's funny, that 2021 game, I had no recollection of it up until you look it up in the Cowboys, another Cowboys-Eagles game that meant nothing, kind of like this past week. The Cowboys, that was when I think they played Dak in the starters the whole game. They beat the Eagles 51-24, and Gardner Minshew played. So obviously in that week, he was locked in, decided not to play, which is definitely noteworthy when you consider they are locked into their position right now. And he, last time he was in that position, he didn't play him. 2022, they had to bring Jalen back. Remember, he was dealing with, I think it was the shoulder injury or the collarbone or whatever it was. And he came back in the final week because they needed that game. They needed to win that game so that they would lock up that number one. And they ended up winning it comfortably. So that season, he didn't really have a decision to make. 2023, this is one where, you know, they had a very small chance at still winning the division, but you could argue there he made a decision to play to get momentum going more so than because of the chance at the division. In my opinion, that decision was more about the fact that they had been playing awful. Obviously, they were in the middle or towards the end of what will be forever remembered as probably the greatest collapse in Eagles history and arguably the greatest collapse in Philly sports history. I know there's a Phillies collapse people love to bring up, but it's the Eagles. Like, everything matters more with the Eagles. It wasn't, you know, there was internet when this happened. There was TV. So, like, I think that this is probably, that was the biggest collapse in Philly sports history. So I think he played them there for momentum. I do. And to maybe try to get something going into the postseason. So all that being said, I don't know if we can take a ton from Knicks past history in these decisions. I think 2021 is probably the best indication of what they'll do in this instance. And like I said, I kind of think they probably already have an idea what they'll do. But until they say it, I've gone back and forth on this. From everyone just like I've tried to talk to about it, people I think would know, I wouldn't rule it out. Like the thing I keep leaning back on is this. All year, I've done the Players Lounge show with offensive linemen, Mailata, Dickerson, like offensive linemen pretty much all year. And the one constant is they are into this record. And speaking of Mailata, was asked about this in the locker room yesterday. I wasn't around Mailata when he said, I think AJ was talking at the same time. And Mailata said that he wants to go for it. So this is audio via Tim McManus, the great Tim McManus of ESPN. And here's Mailata talking about it.
Next week, do you guys want to play to give him a chance to hurt the
record? Absolutely.
As a captain, is that something you'll speak up on?
Yeah.
Even if the game has no meaning towards your seeding, you want to play and you want Saquon to play to get that.
Right.
How come?
Why not? It's an opportunity to make history. Try to do it today, just off the off chance of just knowing your coach. And, I think we never really spoke about the Giants next week, but we just kind of had a feeling if we don't go for it today, I might sit out. We don't know. Coach hasn't really said anything yet.
So that attitude from Mailata right there, or that sentiment from Mailata, is exactly what I've heard all year doing the show with him. And it's exactly what Landon Dickerson says. And I'm recording this on a Monday night. I am doing the Players Lounge with Landon. That will be in the feed. Make sure you check it out. I'm sure he'll talk about it. But I think they want it. Like, I think the offensive lineman really want it. Now, Lane saying he doesn't want to play, or I'm paraphrasing there, could impact it. But you could put Fred Johnson out there and say, hey, Lane's a vet. We want to get him some rest. Like, I think the players are going to push for it. I really, really do. And it makes it a tough decision on what to do. And Nick, it's not an easy one. A lot of people will be involved. Nick, Howie, Lurie. And we'll talk later in the week about like who should make the decision. But it is a tough one. And I think it's pretty clear the players have a lot of interest in making sure that they get this record. All right. On the other side, like I said, I did rewatch the game Monday morning. And so I have some Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee thoughts for you guys based off of their performance. So we'll get into that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so on Monday, sat down after a comfortable Eagles 41-7 win and rewatched the Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee game. Now, normally, obviously, it's a Jalen Hurts rewatch report card. Last week it was Kenny. This week it was really both of them. I mean, they both, obviously Tanner playing for the first time this year. Kenny didn't play the whole game because Tanner played. So I want to give you guys thoughts on both of them. So first, combined, they go 13 for 19, 198 total yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 0 fumbles. So if you just want to call them like Pickett McKee or, Tanner McKee, Kenny McKee, whatever you want to call him, if you view that as one quarterback, that's an outstanding day at the office. Obviously, only 19 attempts, which is frankly something we're used to seeing with Jalen not throwing it a ton with how well they've been running it. And Jalen normally ends up with more yards, it feels like. Kenny and Tanner really didn't have much in the running game, but 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, no fumbles. That's an outstanding performance from the backup quarterback. So let's get into a little more specifics of what I saw with each player. So my main takeaway from this one with Kenny would probably be just the plays he made down the field. And I'm not talking about like 70-yard bombs, but the Grant Calcaterra one-handed catch that Calcaterra made, and then obviously the throw that Kenny made. I thought it was an encouraging play for a lot of reasons. One, the fact that Grant Calcaterra made the catch was outstanding. But then from Kenny's perspective, the fact that, so on the play, he snaps the ball, there's pressure, he rolls out to his right, and he, first of all, good chemistry between Calcaterra and Pickett. You can see that once Calcaterra realizes Kenny is scrambling, he takes off down the sideline. So good scramble drill job there from Grant Calcaterra. But Kenny Pickett does a nice job lofting it up down the field to Grant, puts it where really only Grant had a chance. That is a common theme, I thought, from both Kenny and Tanner on Sunday, is they did a good job of putting the ball like back shoulder type of thing where really only their receivers had a chance to get it. So I thought that was a really good play from Kenny Pickett. And he was definitely calm in the pocket on Sunday. So his touchdown pass to Devontae, I mean, in my opinion, and obviously I didn't play the position, but it looks to me like a textbook example of how you want to maneuver the pocket as a quarterback. So the ball is snapped. You can see Kenny. He's in the pocket. There's pressure on Mailata's side. He steps up casually, and as he's stepping up, he kind of starts to throw the ball and just lofts a perfect pass to Devontae right along the side of the end zone. Really nice job by Devontae keeping his feet in bounds. But to me, what is so impressive about this is just the way that Kenny Pickett deals with the pressure. You know, it's impossible not to compare the quarterbacks. And I'll preface every time I compare him by saying Jalen is the better quarterback. But Jalen doesn't step up into the pocket as much. This is not his strength, right? Like, he'll roll out, he'll run, and he'll make big plays. He's just not a huge step up into the pocket guy. So Kenny doing it, I thought, really stood out. Like, there was a clean pocket there to step up into with the pressure coming to his left side. So I thought that was really encouraging from Kenny. So the other play that stood out to me was obviously the long pass to Devontae, where Devontae gets tackled at the 1 yard line. And we talked about this with the Calcaterra play, but the fact Kenny's making plays down the field, I think, is encouraging. And probably the biggest surprise from the Kenny Pickett I saw in training camp to right now, I didn't think Kenny showed the best arm in training camp down the field, but Kenny Pickett in games this year, his arm is not like elite or anything like that. I mean, again, it's not like a Josh Allen, you know, Jamarcus Russell for the throwback people, like, type of cannon arm. But it's been getting the job done. And the throw to Devontae, it looks like it's, I don't know, maybe 40 yards in the air, maybe 45, something like that. But it hits Devontae in stride. He doesn't have to slow down. It's an easy catch for him, and he ends up scoring the touchdown. So just my concern with Kenny when Kenny went in was so much of the Eagles offense this year has been about deep plays down the field in the passing game. And I don't know whether he could do that, but I think that he has done a really nice job. So I graded them both together, which I'll do at the end. But if I was going to grade just Kenny, you know, I think he gets like an A. I mean, you know, there were a few missed throws, you know, early on, didn't get off to the best start. But again, made some big plays down the field. He had that outstanding play that didn't end up counting where he hits AJ in the back of the end zone where he does end up hurting his ribs. And that's the other thing of it, too. You got to give Kenny credit. Going out there, playing in a game the Eagles needed with broken ribs. I know that personally he had a lot to gain from this. Obviously, all players do when they put film out there. But he didn't have to go play. Like, he could have said he can't play through broken ribs, but he went out there. According to reports, he took two like painkiller shots to be able to play. So I just thought Kenny's performance, even if you grade him as a starter, like when I watch Kenny Pickett, I think the Eagles could be a playoff team with Kenny Pickett. They're probably not a 14-win team with Kenny Pickett, but I think they'd be a really, really good team if Kenny Pickett played all year quarterback. So let's get into Tanner McKee. So one thing that stood out about Tanner McKee instantly is the first two plays he was out there, I think, he's like maneuvering guys around. It looks like maybe he's doing a check with the protection or something on the first snap. He moves Saquon to the other side. He's talking to the offensive lineman. It was actually a second throw, my bad. But he's moving people around. He did it on the AJ throw, on the throw to Devontae too, where it's across the middle. Devontae has a nice job adjusting to it. It was, you could tell, it's funny, both Kenny and Tanner's first throws were off, like they were high and a little to the side. And then the rest of the game, I thought they threw really accurate passes. So I think adrenaline certainly involved there. But Tanner's second throw is the deep shot to AJ, or deep-ish. I don't know. It was like 25, 30 yards or whatever. But he throws it to AJ. AJ almost makes that unbelievable one-handed catch. But a couple things there. One, the fact that he's even taking that shot, I think, is so encouraging for just his mentality as a quarterback and as a person and like a player. Like, it's his first time in the NFL playing in a game, and he's already taking deep shots. He's not checking it down. He's not, none of that. Like, he is going for it. And so you could tell he saw AJ had one-on-one coverage down the side. He knew where he wanted to go. To me, it looks a little bit like he looks the safety off, because there was a single high safety that ended up staying over to the right and AJ's down the left. I can't tell completely, but regardless, he does get AJ one-on-one and he makes a throw. It doesn't end up being a touchdown, but it's a nice throw where only AJ can get it. And I like just the mentality of him to do that. So the other one is the touchdown throw to AJ. And this was like textbook where you want this ball to be. So Tanner drops back. The pocket is good. They both had good protection a lot of the game. And he throws it 35-ish yards, I think it was, to AJ. And AJ just adjusts to it perfectly in the air. It's on, it's, you know, on AJ's other shoulder near the out of bounds line, and he just, you can't throw it any better. I thought it was a perfect throw, and that is one thing that has stood out about Tanner consistently since I started watching him, and obviously training camps, preseasons, all that. He throws a really, really nice ball. And so one play I do really want to get into is the play last week where Devontae drops a pass, and compare it to the touchdown throw Tanner McKee made to Devontae against Dallas. So last week, obviously, we all remember it. You don't want to think about it, but remember it for a second, where Devontae Smith drops that pass over the middle from Kenny Pickett. The game's over. They end up kicking the field goal. Obviously, Washington goes and scores. If he catches that ball, the game's over and they win. If you go back and watch that, if you look at where that ball is, Devontae is catching that like at his visor in his face mask. Like, now again, should absolutely catch it. It's a catch he'll make 99 of 100 times. But it's a more difficult catch when it's coming like right at your face, right? And you're putting your arms up for it. You're not really running in motion. And it was dropped. Should have caught it. But this is why ball placement is so important. And that's one thing that really stands out with Tanner McKee. So on his touchdown pass to Devontae, and this is on my Twitter, so you should go check it out. I have screenshots of it. When Devontae catches the ball, he's catching it in his gut. It's like right at the six, pretty much, right? So not his gut, but like it's in his stomach. So he's able to look at it like the whole time because it's not coming right at his face. And he's able to like take it into his body. He can use both hands and he scores. So he's just as open on both plays. Like there's nobody around him on either play. And he probably scores against Washington if he catches the ball. And against Dallas, he did catch the ball and he scores. So it just, to me, is such a good example of how much ball placement matters. That is one thing. I think of the three quarterbacks, Kenny definitely has the worst ball placement. It doesn't mean he can't throw nice passes. He absolutely has. But consistency is key when you're a quarterback. And Jalen, I think, has pretty good consistent ball placement when he does throw it. He throws a very catchable ball. That's why you don't really see a lot of drops when Jalen's out there. And I think Tanner McKee has that quality. And I think the ball placement on the Devontae one, it'll look like an easy throw where it's a wide open crossing path, like crossing route. I get it. It is an easy throw. But ball placement really matters there to make it from a catch to a touchdown as opposed to a drop. So those are really my main takeaways from watching Tanner and Kenny. I think both could be successful quarterbacks in the NFL if they were with the Eagles. Obviously, if they went to a trash team like the Giants, I don't think they would do as well. But if you told me Kenny Pickett started a full season for the Eagles, I think they'd be a playoff team. If you told me Tanner McKee started a full season, I'd be a little less sure just because he's played less football. But I think that all the attributes are there for Tanner, where he could absolutely be successful on this Eagles team. I think he is more so somebody that needs a great offensive line around him, needs great receivers, but I think they could win with him. And I'd be really curious to see what the offense for a full season would look like with all three. Obviously, we've seen it with Jalen, but just the differences and how the coaching staff would handle it differently. But overall, I gave them an A+. I think when you grade it as pure starters, maybe you go like A- if you want to be picky of like a high level thing. But if you consider they're the second and third string quarterbacks, yeah, I think you'll take four passing touchdowns and no turnovers from your second and third string quarterback. So that'll do it for the Tanner McKee Kenny Pickett report card. And it'll do it for today's daily pod. So the next time I talk to you guys, it'll be 2025. So in a very classic like old man dad joke, talk to you guys next year. Until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys next year.